Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on VOCNation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, VOCNation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Everyone, and welcome once again to WCW Retro. I'm your host of the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Great to have you guys with us again. I missed you guys so much. Oh my gosh. It's been one thing after another these past few weeks, but we made it. We're back. And lots to talk about tonight in the wrestling world. So much to talk about. We're on the road to WrestleMania. And on top of that, tonight's special topic as well, which is the greatest world champions. And I'm looking forward to diving into that topic with you guys tonight. So if you guys want to call in and give your thoughts on some of your favorite world champions in the years, call in anytime during tonight's live WCW Retro podcast at 914-338-1885. Once again, the number is 914-338-1885. And so happy to be with you guys here tonight. Like I said, lots going, lots to talk about. Before we dive into that, plus more wrestling news, let's make a few announcements and shout-outs, if you will. First off, shout-outs to Masters of Ring Entertainment, mastersofringentertainment.com. Fishing with Special Friends, fishwithspecialfriends.com. Cauliflower Alley Club. Find out what they're up to at cauliflowerallyclub.org. For my social media roundup, my official website is thestro.com, thestro.com. My official merchandise page is thestro.com/merchandise, which get your favorite Papa Stro merch today for all ages, including pets. If you'd like to make a donation to yours truly, Papa Stro, buy a cup of coffee, tips, etc. I got some medical bills. I'm trying to pay off as well from last year. But any donation of any kind, gifts, et cetera, I love getting gifts, send it to my PayPal at paypal.me/Papa Stro. And also you can, or you like, if you have Cash App, you can go to, just look for me, Real Papa Stro, or my email for Cash App is strofoya, S-T-R-O, number 4-Y-A, at yahoo.com. And that's also for PayPal, so any donation would be greatly appreciated. And thank you guys for your support. Also, strofoya at yahoo.com, where you can email me for bookings. And I'm taking bookings for all kinds of stuff these days, stand-up comedy, motivational speaking, commentary for wrestling events, different type TV events, voiceovers, if they cast me for a television or film project, commercials, endorsements, Comic-Cons, conventions, seminars, charities, etc. I do a lot these days. Hit me up, strofoya@yahoo.com. It's STRO4YA@yahoo.com. I'm also on Twitter at Stro, T-A-C-S-T-R-O, on Facebook at Stro the Maestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, guys, at youtube.com/StroMaestro. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/RealPapaStro. If you'd like to be a special guest on an upcoming episode of WCW Retro, feel free to email me also at WCWRetro@yahoo.com. Get some exposure in the network, if you will. And let's talk, yeah. But and support all the great podcasts we got here on VOCNation.com. In the Room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. And all the great podcasts, but of course, WCW Retro and all that. Also, support us on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/VOCNation. Get your favorite VOC Nation t-shirt today, including one of WCW Retro and one of yours truly, Pop Stro, the Four Faces of Stro. Thank you guys for your love and support. It means the world. It's great, always great hearing from you guys. And keep in touch, you know, don't be a stranger. Much love. And yeah, we're on the road to WrestleMania tonight. We're talking about World Champions. Looking forward to diving in that with you guys. Lots to talk about tonight as well. But, yeah, we're really, really excited about what's lying ahead. So, looking forward to talking about the world champions tonight. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. With that, let's talk world champions, for example. I mean, some great world champions of yours. I know, you know, back in the day, you had great world champions like Luthez and Harley Race and the Funk Brothers, Dory Funk Jr., and Terry Funk, the two brothers that hold the world's NWA World Heavyweight Championship. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, of course, Nature Boy Ric Flair. List goes on. Some of the great world champions of the years. And of course, in recent years, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena, The Undertaker, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and we can go as recent as an AEW World Champion, the current heavyweight champion, MJF, John Moxley, Chris Jericho, and CM Punk, and the list goes on. So I mean, we have a lot of material to work with tonight, guys, so if you want to call in and talk about some of your favorite world champions of the years, feel free to call in 914-338-1885. And looking forward to that as well. Lots to talk about tonight. A lot of things happening in the wrestling world as well. So we're going to dive into that also. Tonight, of course, the road to WrestleMania. A lot of exciting matches and build leading up to WrestleMania as well. So, here we go, man. The calls are lining up, so let's do this. Oh, I love you guys. All right, let's get to, 609 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
What's going on, Stro? How are you?
Howard, hey brother, what's going on? Great to be back. No, oh my gosh, great to see you guys.
I'm glad to hear you back, brother. It feels like it's been forever.
It's been a journey. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna bring up some more people on here, man. The callers are lighting it up tonight, man. Let's do this. 479 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Well, hello, Stro. It's Granny.
Well, Granny, welcome back. How you doing?
I've been very busy. My son is in the process of getting ready to move. And so all weekend long, we've been packing boxes, and he's going to have his own apartment, but he's going to be part of that assisted living facility that I was telling you about that he looked at about a month ago. And he's still going to be able to keep his little dog there with him. He'll be right next door to the facility, so if he were to need help, he'll be right there. You know, basically, he'll still be independent, but he'll be there if he needs help. So.
Awesome. I wish him all the best. That's awesome.
Yeah, the process is just getting rid of stuff that he's not going to be able to take with him because his apartment is basically the size of a like a college dorm room, basically. He's got like one room and like a studio apartment, very small. I mean, he's going to be limited to what he can take with him. So it is what
well,
it is.
That's
so,
great. Yeah,
you know,
please give him my best. That's awesome.
I will.
That's awesome.
I will. Hi, Howard.
903 area code.
Hey, Granny. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Dustin.
Dustin. Dustin's on the line, too. Hey, welcome back, Dustin. How you doing,
Hi,
man?
Dustin.
Stroh, I got my friend Hannah on call, too.
Hi.
Hannah. Oh, hello, Hannah. Glad you joined us, Hannah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, he's declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Fine.
Oh, good to hear from you, Hannah.
Yep.
Yeah, lots to talk about tonight, guys. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're talking world champions tonight. Where would you like to begin? lots to talk about.
Man, AEW last night was good.
Well, we can talk about AEW too, yeah. they did have a solid show. I would say it's probably one of the best Dynamites for quite some time.
That main event was phenomenal.
That was really good. I thought the beginning promo with Jungle Boy, Darby, Sagavara, and MJF was great, too. I mean, the whole show was just solid, I mean, in my opinion.
Especially with Brett Baker and Jamie Hayter returning last night.
Yeah. I mean, every segment was just – it was very well put together, I think, and – And what a cliffhanger at the end with the three-way six-man tag team title match there with Adam Page and the Elite.
Yeah, and what, apparently the Blackpool Combat Club returning heel was like.
Yeah, so exciting things going on. You got And Craig, my friend, when's the next AEW pay-per-view? What's the name of it called again?
I think it's Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing, that's it. Right, right. Yeah. I'm already excited about it. From Dynamite the other night.
Yeah, Las Vegas, Nevada, May 28th for Double or Nothing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm going to be in Vegas. Not Vegas, but actually I'm going to be in Chicago, I think, the next month or so for the WAW event, Night to Remember. So that's really cool.
So you're talking about like the greatest champ, like world champions of all time. You got to put Seth Rollins in there.
Oh, Seth Rollins, yeah. What a coup he did at WrestleMania. Remember he cashed in the Money in the Bank?
Yep. 7 years ago,
yeah.
March 28th.
Right. Right, yeah, he's definitely right up there, man, and you know, and he's still kicking. He still has the potential to be world champion again. So,
yeah, I hope so. Hopefully, this Logan Paul thing's a one off. Hopefully, he can move on from that.
Yeah, it's him and Logan Paul at WrestleMania.
Stro, I have a feeling
that may surprise some people.
Stro, I have a feeling next week on Raw. Logan Paul is going to get interrupted by Seth Rollins on his show Impulsive Live next week in St. Louis.
Yeah, that should be interesting. That'd be interesting. That especially with them being there, Roman, the champion, is going to be there as well. And,
yep.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, I mean, I'd be remiss to say, he's right up there being, like, one of the recent greatest world champions. I mean, wow.
Yeah, not being pinned in so long, you know, and you know, I'll tell you, you know, it's going to be a big deal if Cody Rhodes wins a Mania.
And he's almost, if Roman retains at Mania, he very well could surpass Bruno's record.
Yeah. That's impressive.
That's insane. That's so insane.
Yeah, I know. You know, and the thing, yeah, and talking about great champions, let's see. Well, Steve Austin, and then you got Kane. You have Bret Hart, a bunch of them. Shawn Michaels.
Oh gosh, yes.
Triple H.
I mean, Undertaker. Undertaker at one point, yeah. And of course, you know, Triple H.
Batista.
Yep, Batista. And which, you know, I really hope, if not this year, next year, or I really hope he makes it soon with the Hall of Fame, Batista.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if Batista gets in the Hall of Fame and Triple H is the one inducting him?
You know, yeah, that would be really, really, really cool.
Because of the history they've had.
No doubt. Any other world champions that come to mind, guys? You'd like to share?
I think I got one that might fly under the radar a little bit, but he actually is a 9-time world champion. And he's on the shelf right now, but that's AJ Styles.
Yes, AJ.
I mean, you know, great. He only had one WWE run, but he's been NWA champion, been TNA, PWG, IWGP.
Right.
You know, he's been champion really all over the world.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's an AJ Styles. Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know him and like I said. You know, he's another one like Seth Rollins that, you know, he could become world champion again at any time.
Yeah. I think in probably in the next 2 or 3 years, he'll have a world title somewhere. Don't know necessarily be WWE, but he will be world champion somewhere.
Right, right. Hey, we're being joined by Professor Steve. Welcome back. It's been a while. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm kind of moving around, but figured I'd call in. Hey, Granny. Yeah, that's a good choice, AJ Styles. Was that the one that Howard just picked, AJ Styles?
Yeah,
that's a good choice.
I caught some of the end of that. For Japan, I got to go Okada, because Kenshi Okada from New Japan, All Japan, Misawa, yeah. Kenta Kobashi, Pro Wrestling Noah, and then other champions I could name that won, like, all three titles from all three promotions, Takayama, MMA fighter, Kensuke Sasaki, and Great Muda recently with Pro Wrestling Noah. That was his most recent world title that he won. And I'm really excited to see that he's doing a Hall of Fame induction. I wonder if they'll fly
him
out. I heard that
that's so cool.
It's gonna be I heard it's gonna be a shorter group, which I think is better. I think it would give them more time for speeches. Hopefully they can fly him out or get him to do a video. Cause and then I heard the rumor that Ric Flair might be inducting him, so we'll see.
That would be cool.
How that speech goes, yeah, because I know they have history.
Oh gosh, you know I wish they could have done, like, speaking of Muda, I wish, because I forget what podcast they were talking about. I wish they had given Muda, when he was in the States, more of a babyface run. And,
right.
Or say, like, go after Flair for the title, that type of thing. They really missed the boat on that, you know what I mean?
For sure.
At the time.
I think Muda was definitely cool. And I think it would have worked for sure.
And so marketable too, you know what I mean? I mean, it was just awesome at that time.
Right.
But yeah, I'm happy for him.
Especially during that time period when Mortal Kombat games were kind of getting started and getting hot, I think he would have fit in with that demographic.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, that's a good one, for sure. There's great picks in Japan, Steve. Amazing.
Misawa and Kobashi are two of my favorites, and just recently there was, like, the 20th anniversary of their match from Noah from 2003, and watched some of the clips from that, but it's interesting that Muda is one of the three guys that's won all three of the top titles there. Pretty interesting, and he did it in his Twilight years, too, with Noah.
Right. And that's no easy task either, because, I mean, and all those promotions are so hard-hitting, right, and so competitive.
Yeah. And Muda's knees are so worn from all the moonsaults and the Shining Wizards, you know, over the years.
No doubt.
I think his whole body's got to be worn by now. Just as long as he's been in it, for sure. I mean, just, I'm sure from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, something hurts all the time.
I thought it was pretty cool that they had that impromptu match with Chono. I thought that was pretty cool. Just give him, like, one last run-in.
That was awesome. Oh, God, that was so cool. That was so cool. Man, some great picks so far tonight, guys.
And it's interesting that sometimes wrestling history is kind of revised, kind of revisionist. Like, Inoki technically had a win over Bob Backlund when he was champion, but wasn't recognized. So
that's right.
He's another world champion that you could acknowledge.
Yeah. And Backlund, when he was champion, how many years did he hold it for? Like three or four or something
five,
like that?
Three, four, almost five, something like that. It was a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It was a long reign, yeah.
Wow.
I think Bruno's time, it was more like a monster factory. This guy's name was play, kind of like Hogan later on, but, I mean, you got to mention Bruno as well, just for how long he held it. And at some point, he probably didn't want to hold it much longer because he had to work so much.
As JR would say, Bruno was tougher than a $2 steak back then.
Yeah. That's what Buddy Rogers found out, I heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, and not that, Bruno, you know, he go ahead.
They said Bruno would, like, part of his training, he would run, like, so many miles a day, and he kept that regimen up even after he retired. Like, man.
Yeah,
you run
miles. Yeah, like 5, 6, 8 miles a day.
Right.
I don't do that in a week.
Thick, yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, I don't, you know, I mean, world champion, and he may not have really been a world champion per se because he never really left his territory, but I think he did a lot and his promotion did a lot back in the day to lay the groundwork for everything that we're seeing now. And I think we'd be amiss if we didn't mention Jerry Lawler.
Oh,
yeah. I agree.
The king.
He won
king.
so many national and regional titles. I'm sure he won kind of the territory world titles.
Yeah, it was the USWA.
He won the unification.
Yeah.
Remember the unification when he wrestled Kerry Von Erich?
Yeah,
it was,
you know, and I think that whole promotion, really, we're still feeding off of today with stories and really how far can you push what you do on television. I mean, you look back at all the stuff that they did, and not just him, but, you know, Bill Dundee and all of those mm-hmm. guys of that time that really when, you know, kayfabe was what it was, it – you know, you have guys getting run over in the parking lot, and they're calling the cops, and, you know, because somebody just got killed, and, you know, they want everybody arrested. And but they really had, in that area, they – go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, you mentioned Kerry earlier. Kerry was quite a bit involved in the world title picture between that and the NWA world being the NWA world champion for a brief bit, you know what I mean, when he was – Flair wrestling.
Yeah, going down into Texas, you know, we have all the guys that we recognize today, you know, The Rock, and of course, you know, the business I believe wouldn't be as big as it is today if we didn't mention Hulk Hogan and everything that he did, you know, for the business, you know, when you beat the Iron Sheik, you know, I don't say relatively unknown, but he wasn't the Hulk Hogan that we know now when he beat the Iron Sheik.
Absolutely. And look what he did for the WWE, well, back then WWF, for a number of years.
Lots of great names listed tonight so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the Lawler pick. Memphis, I guess it's getting more recognized, but I think it's farmed so many top stars over the years. So many top guys went through there, and it's interesting that we don't have the Poffos, we don't have Jerry. We have Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett, but like, and so a lot of the old Memphis guys are getting up there in age, and it's interesting.
Yeah, and all the memorable angles over there. All the angles that they had, you know, it's, and again, yeah, it seemed like that was the, I don't want to say developmental territory, but it really did spawn a lot of great talent. You know, you think of Kamala, you know, and all of those guys
right.
that came out of that era, Jimmy Hart, you know, that came out of that Memphis area and really just, you know, exploded after that. And but they kind of cut their teeth in Memphis.
And speaking of Memphis, you know, Jeff Jarrett, I mean, being a former NWA world champ, along with being involved, being the champion of Memphis territory and what he's accomplished, you know, with WWE and now with AEW. And then, you know, and also WCW in the past. I mean, there's a guy. I mean, no strangers to the world title picture.
No, not at all. Not at mm-hmm. all. Probably, I mean, if I had to guess, probably 8 or 10 world titles, you know, but, you know, between, you know, that he had. But, yeah, definitely you know, somebody to mention.
And he's still going strong.
And he's still doing it.
with Orange Cassidy there.
And he still looks in really good shape.
It looks amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Any other picks you guys want to share? I mean, this is putting on a pretty good roll here.
I mean, we could bring up Sting and all of his title runs.
And there's another guy.
Chase Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sting.
Right.
You know, although he's not in as good a shape, I think, as Jarrett is, but he's still out there kicking it. You know, he's still doing it.
You know, it's only a few months ago that he was still diving off of different things.
Yeah, you know, and I love the whole build up to him finally beating, you know, Ric Flair and kind of coming into his own. You know, when he beat Flair for his first world title, that was huge. That was, you know, kind of a semi passing of the torch for, you know, Ric Flair is, you know, not done, but, you know, Sting is the next face of the company.
Right.
And he was for a lot of years.
And, you know, switching gears, you know, to the ladies, I mean, you know, we've had some really, really tough ladies world champions to talk about over the years.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you could go all the way back to, you know, and again, politics aside, you know, to Fabulous Moolah and how long she, you know, quote unquote, had a title and, you know, was touring around the country.
Oh yeah, hands down. And I, you know, the matches like, she like that back when she was known as the Wilder Blaze, Medusa.
Medusa,
and
yeah.
Volcano would have over the WWE Women's title were just amazing. I mean, got so hard hitting.
I say they were almost as hard hitting as the men's matches were. No, I mean, not disrespectful, but they were very high impact.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Amazing. Of course, you know, look at the women wrestlers in Japan. Oh my gosh, that were women's champions.
Yeah.
I mean, we can.
You read my mind.
We can really.
I was
right.
I was looking at the All Japan Women's title. Bull Nakano had the most days, 917. The other woman I'd mentioned, she's not in the top three, but Lioness Asuka, she held it for 404 days. Bull Nakano, not surprised that she was like the one that held it the longest, 917. It's pretty. Pretty dominating champion.
And then Sherry Martel, who was also an AWA Women's Champion, and look what she did for both WWE and WCW and all her travels.
God, man, I forgot about her. Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
good stuff, though.
And that's some of the many greats through the years. You know, like there are some that like for example, Ronnie Garvin, one time being the NWA World Champion, and when him and Flair were feuding.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and they don't like call him Hands of Stone for nothing, brother. I felt it, trust me. He's tough as it go, man.
You know, go ahead.
No, I just think anybody that especially back then, that they, you know. What, you know, would allow to hold the title, you know, at that time, you know, they were really handpicked. They were, and for however long you want to call it, you know, the popular phrase transitional, whatever, they were still, handpicked by somebody, you know, for however short of that time was to be the face of the company. And, you know, back then,
right.
I mean, that said a lot about who you were and your work ethic and the trust, you know, the trust that they gave you.
Yes. And with AWA, going back to AWA, some great world champions came out of there. You had, you know, of course, Nick Bockwinkel, one of the greatest ever. Rick Martel.
Rick Martel, yeah.
Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
Perfect. Gagne. Vern.
Yeah, Vern Gagne, yeah.
Nah, the list just goes on, man. And a lot, some of those guys went on to be world champions elsewhere too. Stan Hansen, you can't forget Stan Hansen. Stan Hansen, Larry Hansen, and some of the other guys I mentioned, and a few more that went on to other promotions and could very well have been world champion in other places. So I mean, what a talented promotion at one point, man.
They even had Otto Vons from Germany.
Otto Vons, yes.
I believe he promoted the Catch Wrestling Association, and he held that. He kind of led that company and held that title for 3,000 days. So he was kind of like the Bruno of his territory. Yeah, also. I saw the list of AWA champions. I saw, like, Jumbo Tsuruta and Otto Vons. I was like, wow. Got some good names on that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's interesting. You're going back to what you said earlier. I was looking at the All Japan titles for the women, and my favorite, Toyota, she's in the top 10. I thought she'd be higher, but... she held it for 287 days. So it's interesting how she's probably the one most remembered, upside Full Nakano, and she's in the top 10, not the top 5. So it's very interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and there's world champions that have yet to even hit the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'll give you an example, Jazz. Where there'll be a women's champion.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my opinion, should have been in the Hall of Fame years ago.
Right.
But I'm just using her as one of many examples of world champions that over the years that made an impact that have yet to reach the Hall of Fame, which is staggering if you think about it.
Yeah, I think her recognition came from Impact Wrestling and her later part of her career, but yeah, she should be recognized also by WWE.
And I mean, look at the Hearts, look at Brett and Owen. You know, because Owen was like champion of other promotions, and of course, you know, Brett being one of the greatest WWE champions of his time, too.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you have, you know, back in the early days of, well, before it was Extreme, when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, you have, you know, Shane Douglas, you know, who really kind of revolutionized that promotion, again, under, you know, the guidance of Paul Heyman, you know, and, you know, look at the impact that had.
Right.
One more thing I do want to mention. Since you mentioned Owen, I was thinking of myself, Ultimo Dragon, and he held a bunch of junior titles and cruiserweight titles.
I lost count how many titles he had at one point.
I'm looking over the list, and yeah, he had the junior titles in Japan. He even had title middleweight and BMLL titles everywhere.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, back in the day,
WCW,
the NWA junior heavyweight champion, Denny Brown. I mean, I know it's not a major title per se, but, you know, it gave something, you know, for smaller guys to kind of, you know, shoot for. And I just think, you know, Denny Brown was a heck of a worker back in, you know, the mid-'80s, you know, the early 90s.
Him, Gary Royal, Nelson Royal.
Gary Royal, yeah. Was it Steven Regal?
That's it. Yeah, Steven Regal. Les Thornton back in the day. Les Thornton. Oh, gosh. Of course, you know, Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio, who's being inducted, ironically, in the Hall of Fame this year. I think it's amazing.
I think it's time. You know, it's about time that, you know, he goes in. You know, but again, there's so many that they could have. And like that, you mentioned, I think that, go ahead.
That Eddie Guerrero held, man. He not only heavyweight and junior heavyweight. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, but I think you hit on the point early going back to the Hall of Fame. I think they should limit the class to maybe three or four. One big, I guess, star. Not, again, no disrespect, but then, you know, because, again, you want to hear these people's stories. You want to hear, you know, how they kind of, you know, got into business and hear the the travels of the road. And, you know, I love Bobby the Brain's induction, you know, and then you get guys that get 5 or 6 minutes. You're like, oh, what, they're done already? Like, I think they should have, you know, 20, 25 minutes to go up and, you know, give their story and then keep it small. Keep it about 4 or 5 people. That's a nice hour and a half, and you're done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't like hearing about speeches being cut. Like, Molly Holly, like, was disappointed with her time. Yeah, I think they really should shorter group, longer speeches, I think. And
yeah, absolutely.
Going back to the junior title, junior champions, I gotta mention Jushin Liger. He's held he held the junior IWGP 11 times. And 628 days was longest reign. So
that's
Liger and Dragon.
That's amazing. And then you throw Tiger Mask in the mix too. God, man.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And Tiger Mask is so interesting because you had two of the best wrestlers play Tiger Mask. You had Sayama and Misawa in different groups, but a great character.
Oh, man. If Cody Rhodes would have pulled this off of Mania and become champion, right? I mean, that in itself would be a milestone for the family. For the Rhodes family.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on Cody winning at WrestleMania. I got a couple weeks still, but just not sold on Cody Rhodes yet.
Because, I mean, either side of the coin, you look at it, you know, Roman, if he retains, he'll be reaching the milestone. And if Cody takes it, then he'd be doing the milestone for his family as well. So, I mean, either way, you look at history being made.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I could see him winning it at some point. I don't know if it'll be at Mania, but it would be an interesting story, and I think it's interesting. Cody, he couldn't win the AEW World title, and he went to the TNT, but he won the NWA World Championship from Nick Aldis at one point. And Nick Aldis, I think, should get recognized for carrying that company for so long. I know it's kind of not. But there's no buzz about it lately, but I think Nick Aldis carried that company for a while.
Yeah, a single hand right. carrying that company.
Yeah.
Right.
And speaking of NWA, I got to mention Harley Race. Called it for nine times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Harley Race.
One of the best.
Yeah, you can't have a greatest champions list without having Harley on that list. Wherever you put him. Wherever you put him, whether he's first or last or whatever, but he's on that list.
Maverick Flair.
I love the story that.
A bigger deal, too.
I love the story that Flair tells about Harley Race, where he's Harley Race is sitting in the room talking to Kurt Hennig. They're getting ready to wrestle for the title. And Harley's sitting back smoking a cigar, and he's looking at Kurt Hennig and says, what's your finish, kid? And Kurt Hennig is like, drop kick off the top rope. Then Harley leans back in his chair and smokes another puff of a cigar and says, I'll lose. Yes, sir. To hear Flair that's hilarious. Oh, my God. Dying.
Yeah, there's so many Harley stories out there. It's just, you know, and again, you know, a legitimate tough guy. There's no two ways about it.
No doubt.
You know, there's bar stories about him. There's wrestling stories about him. You know, and they're all great stories.
Yes, he definitely would be the guy that if stuff would break down, you definitely would want him on your side.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I heard Tony Atlas tell it to me best years ago. He was like, you know, back when they were picking world champions, right? And it really weren't more or less like the size or anything. It was just if you can believe that the champion could kick everybody's butt. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter how big you were, it's just how tough you looked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when Bill Watts ran his Mid-South, the rumor was, you know, if you lost a bar fight, you were fired.
Yeah.
Like, you can't lose a bar. Like, how am I going to have these guys that are on TV being tough guys, and then you get beat up in a bar? Like, you would legitimately lose your job.
You would
that's
have
why he goes,
you know,
that's why
people
goes
have
to
believe that you're tough enough to hold these champion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I heard that gentlemen's clubs are more favorable for wrestlers. Like Jake Roberts has said that, Jim Ross, I'm sure Undertaker, because there's more security. Just to follow up on the Howard spot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt.
You hear
I love
the story
this.
About Hacksaw in the bar on, I think it's
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say the Tales from the Territory. I love that series. I hope that it continues, you know, and maybe we find new, maybe we revisit some of the old, you know, the territories again and get, you know, newer stories or, you know, stories we haven't heard in a while and they get retold. And because that's, you know, the wrestling that I grew up on was watching those guys. And then you hear all the stories, you know, and
speaking of Dr. Death Steve Williams, there's one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're talking about tough. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you look at
All
him.
American football,
you know,
and wrestling.
The whole, when Mid-South, you know, transitioned into UWF, you had him, you had Terry Gordy, you had One Man Gang, Jim Duggan, all big guys. And, I don't think Terry Gordy was a slouch at all.
And look at
he was a kid, 15, 17-year-old kid when he started.
Was like with Mid-South, UWF, Japan, and him and Gordy teaming together. I mean, what a career Dr. Death has had.
Yeah, just a big, strong guy from Oklahoma. I mean, just
he's triple crown champion.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes. Any other champions that we've missed that you'd like to share?
We could go, you know, you look at, again, at more regional than world title, but you look at what Dick DeBruiser did with his, you know, first was it Indiana, Illinois, or wherever he was up there, that, you know,
right.
The guy was just, you know, unbelievable. You know, and again, you know, Gomez, he's a legitimate tough guy.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and, you know, you can talk about world champions helping other future champions, like what Lou Dez did for Masahiro Chono. You know what I mean? A world champion helping elevate another world champion, per se. We can go there. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you could, you know, you could even go, you know, what if, you know, with, again, you know, with what happened with David Von Erich, you know, if that never happened, you know, where would he fall in this conversation tonight? You know, right.
There's plenty to work with that for another show, yeah.
But, you know, you got, you know, there's so many, you know, possibilities, you know, again, you know, go back to, you know, the Vern Gagne and, you know, all the older, you know, guys like Bruno and all the guys that Larry Zbyszko, you know, we can't forget Zbyszko, you know, in the AWA and,
yeah,
you know, even with him challenging Bruno, you know, when he broke Bruno's leg and it was, you know, it's, we can't forget about him. Again, we know we mentioned Kerry Von Erich and, you know, Ronnie Garvin, and, you know, it's just, you know, the list goes
and
on and on.
Mr. Saito, if I'm not mistaken, was one-time AWA champion.
Yes, I believe so, yes. You know, it was, you know, we got Edge, who, again, he's still outperforming today, you know, and I think he had an incredible run, you know, with a bunch of titles.
And if I'm not mistaken, they just announced him and Finn Balor are going to have a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania.
Is it Hell in a Cell? Okay. I missed that part, but I knew they were going to have a match. I just knew it was going to be Hell in a Cell.
So, yeah, that's
pretty
wild.
That I
want
to see. Yeah,
wow.
I definitely
wow.
want to see.
Yeah. I think that would be a good match for Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor should get a big win. And Edge is a big guy for him to beat. So that would be interesting for him.
Well, that's getting, Mick Foley's trying to get in with Finn Balor on Twitter saying, you know, you need to talk to somebody who's been in the Hell in a Cell. You're getting advice for people who have never been in a match. You need to talk to somebody who has. So he's kind of throwing debate out there to join the Judgment Day a little bit, whether, you know, at whatever capacity it is, you know, I think it would be great. But, you know, they're out there on, you know, Twitter. He's saying, listen, I know how to do this. I've done it. And he's done it very well.
Rewinding a little bit, I would say Jack Briscoe was an amazing champion at his time back in the day.
Yes, he was, yes. And a very good wrestler, you know, to boot. You know, he was a guy that could tie you up, and there was nothing you could do about it.
Jack Briscoe, you could put Jack Briscoe in any generation, I feel, and he would be a star.
Oh, absolutely.
He's that good.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
I read that he was NCAA champion, too. I guess if I had a dream match for Jack Briscoe, it'd be Brock Lesnar. He would know they're both NCAA.
Oh, that would be great. Oh, man. Of course, you know, I mentioned the Funks earlier, Dory Jr. and Terry. I guess you could just say they're the only two brothers that held the NWA World title. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, NWA champion, you know, you have Dan Severn, you know, I think he won about two or three times. You know, and when he won, it was still the old, you know, 10 pounds of gold belt. I always liked that belt design. I thought it was a nice, really nice looking belt.
Yes,
You know, it's funny you mentioned Severn. I was watching on Instagram, and there's some good matches on there. They somebody posted Severn versus William Regal, Steven Regal, from, like, 1998. I was, like, just surprised to see that a hidden gem like that floating around, Severn and Steven Regal, like, wrestling each other. And it was, like, a small venue, right, too, for the NWA World titles, pretty cool. Seeing Regal work on that Severn.
Yeah. A guy that won, briefly won, it doesn't get talked about, was champion with Hacksaw Butch Reed. I don't know if you recalled years ago that, you know, he was, he technically won the title, but due to a technicality, they didn't count it for some reason as
recognized. Yeah.
Right.
Don't they did that to Hulk Hogan too in the AWA, didn't they?
I believe so.
Where he won the title, but then they kind of, you know, took it back from him or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, revived the record. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one was mocking me when Savage said being WWE champion at the time, which was, it was insane because at the time that was like right in the middle of Hulkamania and everything. And then when Macho Man became the champion, you know, that was about the time of the Mega Powers was going on, you know what I mean, and all that. But to be world champion in the midst of Hulkamania, that's huge.
yeah, and anybody that held that title during his run, you know, it was pretty special. Again, for however long or short it was, you know, you were right in the middle of the Hulkamania, you know, era of wrestling.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Nah, but following up on your Macho Man suggestion, yeah, I would argue Macho Man's probably more iconic than Hulk Hogan, in my opinion. Even though the NWO was a big deal, the Macho Man kept himself relevant, like with the Slim Jims and the Spider-Man appearance. Macho Man's just kind of like even more pop culture, I would say, Hulk Hogan.
Awesome. And the rap album. Remember the rap album he did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that Lanny, like, turned down working on it because he was like, no, Hulk Hogan made me so much money at that time, I'm not going to do it. But, yeah, it was neat that he did a rap album. Just Hogan.
Oh, wow.
And we completely skipped over Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat, the Dragon, yeah. Man.
I'd say Ric Flair's best opponent.
Oh, hands down, best opponent.
Amazing.
They could just have a match really on the cuff. No discussion before. Just go out there, do it for, and not do it for 5 or 6 minutes. Do it for 60 minutes. And turn in a phenomenal match before Iron Man matches became the thing. They could legitimately go 60 minutes and have a great match.
Right. Boy, when he won the title from Flair at Chi-Town, man, that place
Chi-Town,
just came unglued, dude. Oh, what a match.
That was great. Yeah, I kind of lost it a little bit, too.
Amazing.
But yeah, a lot of great world champs. I think they're all great at some level because you're not getting that chance to hold that title if you're not great at some level at doing something, you know, really, really good. You know, they're not just, again, they're not just handing it. There's a reason why not everybody doesn't wear one, you know.
I mean, to be a good, remember, world champion, you can't just phone it in. You're on a whole new level. I mean, you're representing the company and you're representing every athlete in the back. I mean, it you're literally on a pedestal when you're the world champion.
Well,
so, I mean, you got single night.
Right. Not only every performer in the back, but everybody that held that title before you did. And I know they've gone through different renditions and everything, but there's lineage there. There's history there. You know, and I think that's starting to warm up to Roman Reigns as a heel a little bit because I think he's getting – a little more vocal, and he's, you know, he's talking more to the fans now than he has in a long, long time. And Ric Flair used to be great at that. Ric Flair used to be great at, you know, involving the fans at ringside in, you know, in what was going on. And, you know, Roman's picking that up a little bit. And, you know, especially with that match with Sami Zayn, when he went over to Sami's wife and said, you know, this isn't my fault. You know, what I'm doing to him is not my fault. This is all his doing. And, you know, he's got nobody to blame but himself for what's going to happen to him. And I thought that was great. I think that kind of solidified him as a, you know, rock solid heel at that time. And like, he's achieved it now. He's kind of, you know, really on the mountaintop now.
Any more champions? World champions who like you all like to mention that we haven't discussed yet? Fire away.
For New Japan, Hiroshi Tanahashi as well, 8-time heavyweight champion over there. Yeah. He kind of carried that brand when it was kind of out of the dark ages.
Right.
You know, for a time, they had like just more MMA focused and, you know, business was down, but Tanahashi kind of brought that company back to life. That's the focal point. And then passed the torch to Okada, and he's had even longer reigns.
Granny, do you have any world champions come to mind you'd like to talk about?
Well, we haven't really mentioned any tag team champions.
Yeah, I was going
to. Sure, we can throw those in the mix.
What about the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, my favorite team?
Oh, one of the greatest teams ever. Oh, my God, yes. Rock and Roll Express.
I mean, you know.
When they beat the Russians, man, that was, you know, that to me that was huge. That was like, yeah, we did it. You know, we are better than the Russians.
They've been champions all over the world, too.
Yes,
yeah.
They have.
All over the world.
Everywhere they've gone. Everywhere. And then, you know, and again, you know, I don't think, you know, and listen, they are a great tag team, but I think what really elevated them through the 80s was, you know, their feud with the Midnight Express.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
And you can't forget the Midnight Express, I mean, being champions either, you know? I mean,
no.
Goodness, I mean.
As a kid, I hated Jim Cornette. I couldn't stand to hear him talk. And now I go back and I'm like, the guy's a genius. Like, he gets it. He knows how to draw. He knows how to get people angry because he made me angry.
I was
to go to a draw with Nick Bockwinkel and Ric Flair on numerous occasions, I mean, that says something.
Well, I might have my facts a little wrong, but I thought they were going to let Ricky have a run with the title, and he actually turned it down.
Yes.
Because he felt it would screw up the Rock and Roll Express.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he liked being, you know, a tag team champion, but he was offered a shot, you know, to carry the big gold, you know, the gold belt, and he's like, no, I just don't want it. And again, it shows you what kind of champion he really was. He wasn't going to leave his boy behind and say, oh, you know what, I'm headed on the bigger and better thing. See ya. You know, he was sticking by his guy.
Right.
That generation, man. You mentioned Rock and Roll, Midnight Express, the Road Warriors. Oh, my God, so many great teams at that time.
The British Bulldogs, you can't forget them.
British Bulldogs, yeah. And we speaking of Tiger Mask, if not mistaken, Dynamite Kid, him and Tiger Mask, it was for the championship in Japan, if I'm not mistaken, that years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, years ago, yeah. They tore it up. They were doing tombstone pile drivers on the floor before, like, you know, before you'd see floor stuff in the States, you know.
Yeah, and you had, you know, back in the day, you had, you know, Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis, you know, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
The Samoans, you can't forget the Samoans. You know, they were...
Oh, yeah.
They were...
Samoans.
The Wild Samoans.
The Valiant Brothers, Jimmy and Johnny.
Yeah,
that's
again,
a great name, Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Ricky Morton, I'm actually going to an event this Saturday. It's like Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling, and they're calling it, and Ricky Morton's going to be there, so I'll likely see him
that's
and Barbarian there. So, yeah. I've met Ricky before, but it'd be cool seeing him again working him.
Right, right. Well, that's great.
I'll
hope it's a good show.
When my husband and my son and I went to Texas last year for WrestleMania with our friend from New York, and we went to the last day of WrestleCon on that Saturday, I got to see Ricky. He had just finished breakfast, and he was heading upstairs to his room for a minute before, you know, him and Robert had to be in the, you know, area where their table was. And he saw me walk by, and I said, Ricky, and he said, Granny, what are you doing here in Texas? I said, well, we're here for WrestleMania, you know. And, of course, I finally got to meet Tommy Wildfire Rich. And he his table was right next to Ricky and Robert. And I got to meet Tommy Rich. And, I mean, Tommy was always one of my favorites back in the day. You know, I love Tommy Rich. And Bobby Fulton was there, and, you know, he was I didn't really get a chance to talk to Bobby Fulton much because, you know, he was talking to Ricky and Robert and Tommy, and I didn't want to interrupt. But, and actually, I got something to share with you guys. There's a little independent company called Down South Championship Wrestling here in Arkansas. They're in Mulberry. I mean, just very small little... And we actually have Bobby Fulton coming April 1st to that show. They have actually worked out the details where they have made Bobby Fulton like the general manager of Down South Championship Wrestling. And he is coming to bring law and order back to Down South Championship Wrestling by putting the head of the Texas Outlaws, Bone Crusher Bobby Burns, who I call him Crybaby Bobby Burns, in his place. I can't wait to see Bobby again. I'm so excited about
That's really cool.
And
oh,
I'm actually, my husband and I are actually, the promoter contacted me, and he says, well, you're coming April 1st, right? And I said, yeah. And he says, do you think you could pick Bobby Fulton up at the airport for me? And I said, I said, are you kidding? I said, what kind of question is that? I mean, when we had Eugene here for Down South Championship Wrestling last year, my husband and I picked him up at the airport, you know, for the promoter. So I said, are you kidding? Of course I'll pick up Bobby Fulton. I said, it would be an honor and a pleasure for Granny to do that.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. I'll be having a good show. That was a great show. Awesome.
I think that's going to be exciting.
Yes. Any plugs, guys? Plug away. Plug-a-mania. Let's do it. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Steve.
In Chester, Virginia, Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling. Mentioned earlier, Ricky Morton, Barbarian, and some Britt Titus, Steve Bowie Anderson, Preston Quinn. So, guys I'm familiar with, some big stars like Ricky Morton are going to be there. That should be a fun show. Tonight, there was a show in Hampton called Barroom Entertainment Wrestling Brew, and hopefully I can go to one of their shows in Hampton sometime. So, it's good that there's some independent wrestling back in Virginia. I'm definitely looking forward to Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling Saturday. And I got some
awesome
seminars coming up, grappling seminars, maybe a catch wrestling seminar that's May in North Carolina. So I got lots to look forward to.
Fantastic. That's really cool. Any more plugs? Anybody say any more plugs?
Go ahead, bro.
All right. But thank you guys. This has been really it's been a great show. And yes. Well,
have you been going to shows in Texas lately?
Off and on, yes.
Yeah, how are those events?
Really great so far. You know, a lot of the independent shows on the area have been really, really cool. I'm seeing a sport. I think I'm going to Saturday. Gunner, former Jackson Riker, will be there.
Right.
And some notable standouts up here is Exodus, Barrett Brown.
My friend Barrett.
Yes. Been making waves here, so it's been really a good time to the event here in the area. But, yes, it's been a great show, guys. Thank you guys for stopping by, for sure. And please stop by next week. Next Thursday, we'll be making a return to WWE Retro on VSNation.com and with another topic. Sure, but thanks again. Be good to yourselves and each other, and we'll see you all next Thursday.
Good night, everybody.
Looking forward to it. Good night.
Have a good night.
Total Package, Lex Luger, you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Hey, guys, before we get started, I just wanted to read this commercial because it's an agreement that we made with a really great podcast, and I want to tell you guys all about it. Pro Wrestling Interviews, it features guests who are hot indie stars as well as the greats of the ring. Each week, you can join the Amazing Velvet as well as Dr. John as they host this jam-packed hour of interviews, pro wrestling news, and entertaining guests. It's an hour you don't want to miss. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, just go to ProWrestlingInterviews.com, and it'll take you to their Facebook page where you can get the custom podcast link for that week. Don't miss a second of Pro Wrestling Interviews. That's Sunday nights, 9 Eastern, ProWrestlingInterviews.com.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Yo, this is Jerry Steins of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts will include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Works. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Phil Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, Tony here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my own.
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found the true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion.
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did you have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.